horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Beck.
We're back, hour two, and we're rationing out the DRF talent. Marty McGee started us off earlier. Jay Privman now, Dave Grenig for hour three. Jay, good morning.
Good morning, man. Marty McGee, the prodigal son returns.
This was a special morning.
Magical.
Exactly. It just the sound of his voice. It just lifts everybody's spirits.
Yeah, absolutely. What a great. My day's only going to be down. It's 7 o'clock out here. My day's only going to be downhill after that.
Ideally, there's nobody chained together to block your way when you drive north tomorrow.
That's right.
Jay, let's quickly hit the top pair in the Derby watch. And Essential Quality and Greatest Honor, they came back the way you like to see your Derby prospects.
Well, right. Well, Essential Quality came back. Greatest Honor had just run a month earlier, but Essential
right.
Quality came back strongly. What I liked about his race was that, you know, he'd never trained, or I should say breezed, at Oaklawn or raced there, and it was an off track, and none of that matters to him. He ran strong, and I thought he had even a little more positional speed than he had shown in his races last year, so it was, to me, as good a return as you would want, and he'll have one more prep. They haven't officially announced where he's going, but I just can't imagine he'd go anywhere other than the Bluegrass Stakes to wins over that track, and 4 weeks out from the Derby and just down the road from there. So that's why we put Bluegrass down for his next start, because that's where we anticipate him going. As for Greatest Honor, I don't know what to make of the race, because on the far turn, I thought he was getting nothing. And then he re-engaged, and he was so much the best by the time they got to the wire that Jose Ortiz was wrapping up on him. I think it was a combination of him finishing well, the leaders stopping. It wasn't a strong field, but I also think he's just getting warmed up at that distance, and he's going to be much better going out to the Florida Derby's mile and an eighth and the Kentucky Derby's mile and a quarter. So it wasn't as impressive to me visually as what Essential Quality did, but I think when you put it in the context of what he's going to be best at, it was a good, solid effort with room to improve for a trainer who will get more out of him.
A quick note. I mean, we everybody heard from Shug the other day. We actually had a wonderful 45 minutes. But one thing that I think is an interesting sidebar to the win, Jay, Shug McGahee's been training, I don't know, 40 years, and he's got 3 Fountain of Youth wins in the last 9 years, none before that. It to me, it's kind of interesting about how his, you know, how he has reinvented, and, you know, plus he's, you know, added some outside clients as the Phipps operation has morphed. I just am so impressed with everything, with his whole approach. It's just, it's amazing.
Yeah, he's a great trainer. I don't know that he's changed his way of doing things, Steve. I think now, as throughout his career, he plays the hand he's dealt.
Right.
If he has a forward kind of 2-year-old or early 3-year-old, he's going to go on with it. And if it's a horse that's going to need more time, he doesn't try and force a square peg into a round hole.
No, well put. And even when you go back to the that period of time, let's call it, you know, 10 years, 8-9 years ago, where he had that spate of turf stake horses, and he made the most of them. Data Link, Ironicus, Boisterous. It's amazing to me. Let's dive in, Jay, and we'll work our way toward Santa Anita. Start in New York and then Tampa with your Derby Watch thoughts.
Well, New York would be the Gotham, and there's two horses in that race that are part of our Derby Watch Top 20, they being Highly Motivated and Freedom Fighter. And they look like they're the two best horses in the race. Highly Motivated, I liked his race at Keeneland last fall when he won the Nyquist. He's being managed as though they're not quite certain that he's going to be a Kentucky Derby kind of horse. This will be the first time he's gone beyond 6.5 furlongs. And it's only now 2 months out from the Kentucky Derby that he's getting back to the races after being off since early November. So he's had a nice long break here. I think he's a quality colt, as I do think with Freedom Fighter. The question with both of these, and it's not going to be answered tomorrow, is their aptitude going longer. And I know regarding Freedom Fighter, there's the real belief in the barn that he's not going to be cut out to be a Derby horse compared to some of the others that the barn has. So, but I like Freedom Fighter's comeback race in the San Vicente a lot. He'd been off for a long time, and he was inside of Concert Tour, and he set what I think are quicker fractions than are illustrated in the official chart, and he went down without a fight. With a fight. He really put up a fight, I should say, to Concert Tour, who's a high-class horse and is going to be one of the top two choices next week, I think, in the Rebel. So it's a two-horse race. It's pretty chalky, but I think they are much the best of this group, and the rest of them in here I just think are a cut below, including Capo Kane, who I thought his Jerome was pretty average, and I thought in the Withers he showed that he doesn't really want to go that far either. So this looks to me like I'm going to steal the thunder of Dave Granning. This looks like a really, really good prep for the Woody Stevens and the Alan Jerkins.
Down to Tampa Bay.
So the Tampa Bay Derby, a race it's hard for me to get super excited about. There's actually a race earlier in the card that I want to call everybody's attention to, but we'll get to that in a moment. We'll do the Tampa Bay Derby first. Candyman Rocket won, I thought, well last time. I just don't think that field that he beat is much of anything, but it's hard to look past him when making the line. I certainly understand why he's favored. He's deservedly so. I know there's a lot of support for Hidden Stash. I know Marty likes the horse and a lot of other people like the horse. Maybe he's going to get a setup because it looks like there's a lot of pace in the race. But to me, he had the absolute trip of life last time in the Sam Davis. He saved every inch of ground, got out, didn't change leads, kind of finished okay. You couldn't get a better trip than he had last time. So maybe he'll run better because he'll get more pace, but I'm not as bullish on him as some others are. And I know we've talked about this many times before, and he's going to be a long shot, but I completely continue to be mystified by the management of Sitting on Go, who has clearly showed that he's a one-run, one-turn horse. If only there were a one-turn race for three-year-olds this weekend on the East Coast that he could have run in, perhaps he could have, gone in something like, the Gotham. But instead, he's going to try two turns again, and just to add insult to injury, gets the worst post in the race. So, buena suerte to him.
And the funny thing is that Dale had, there had been, New York had been speculating that that he might have come up, or Smiley Sabatka might have come up, and then neither come up. So I
don't get it. I mean, I truly don't get it. The two horses in here that intrigue me the most are both of Pletcher's horses. It's hard to know how good they are. Promise Keeper won in the slop, his second start, but it was a nice win, and he came out of a decent maiden race first time out, so he certainly has a right to move forward. And Unbridled Honor has a win over the track, which I like, but his first two races weren't much to brag about, and he had Lasix last time, which obviously he can't use here. So both of those horses have questions, but they're both going to be decent enough prices that I'll probably take a shot with them and along with Candyman Rocket. I'm not really crazy about anything else in the race.
That gets us over.
Well, hang on.
The other race, that's right. Yes.
For special listeners.
Yes.
As you know, a lot of times in my analyses of these races, these derby preps that I do, I like to note not only who ran well and who looks like a derby prospect or not, but I also try and find horses that might have had trips that might be worth looking at in back in more easier spots or maybe on the grass or with a cutback at distance or whatnot. And in the sixth race tomorrow at Tampa is a horse called Last Investment, who ran as a maiden last time in the Sam Davis. And I thought had a deceptively tough trip. It was wide. He tried to hang in there, and then he just wasn't good enough, and he emptied out. But back against this field, I think he's got a huge chance. He's 8-1 on the line. I hope I can get 4 or 5, and I think he's a good gamble tomorrow in that race. The line looks really ugly, which is great, because if you watch the video of the race, he really didn't run all that badly. He tried to hang in there on the top of the stretch, and I think back with his friends, he's got a big chance tomorrow.
Very nice. And the sixth, the mile and 40 maiden special that it's come up already 3 times this morning. So nice. Thank you, Jay. These
for special listeners only.
Exactly. This is the if you subscribe to our 4-star package.
it's the gold font. It's the $200 grand gold seal, not to be confused with the $200 gold bond parlay. It's horse and jockey, a powerful source for winners. Shout out to those who grew up in Southern California and listened to that radio recreation.
Anyway, moving on. We'll do some fit and ready later as well.
608 South Hill Street, room 711 in downtown Los Angeles.
Look at you. This is the quality inside stuff you get on Thoroughbred LA weekend mornings with Jay and Bob Ike and Mike Willman and who else? The cast of thousands.
John Lindo is part of our regular cast of characters. We get Michael Rona on Saturday to preview the Los Alamitos quarter horse races. It's a veritable cast of characters.
Outstanding.
Wow. Bob Mazursky.
Have a talent. Look at this. This is, wow.
Yeah, we have a nice lineup. John Hardoon, Ragazin. We have a good lineup.
Hardoon.
On Saturday mornings.
Excellent.
Anyway, moving on. We're talking. You want to go to Santa Anita? We have a pretty good card out here tomorrow, don't we?
I do. Yes, I would say so. And start with the 3-year-olds. And actually, that's appropriate because the graded action starts with the San Felipe.
Yeah, it's the first leg of the pick six as well, right in the smack dab in the middle of the card. Obviously, Life is Good is the headliner in here, 2-for-2, and Fast Buyer Fig winning the Sham. I think people have viewed his Sham through different prisms. Was he all out at the end of a mile and he's going to be compromised going longer, or was he just toying with his competition? You know, my thought is that coming off one sprint and stretching out, I thought it was a pretty strong effort. The thing that I wasn't crazy about in his first two races was that he pulls really hard, and he's just not going to be able to get away with that with what he's going to be asked to do tomorrow or in the Santa Anita Derby or potentially the Kentucky Derby. That said, he's really looked like he's learned his lessons over the last couple of months in his training. He's not nearly as aggressive when he breaks off for his works. He's much more under control. His works are still really, really impressive, but the way he does it is, to me, has been an improvement because he's just not trying to blast off. He seems like he's learning what he's done. I wrote a couple weeks ago that they changed bits on him, and they take him out late in the morning and they take their time with him. And I just think it's really paid off over the last few months. But he drew the rail tomorrow, and he's going to have to go from there. I think ideally they probably would have liked him to have drawn a little bit wider and just sort of ease into the race, but he's got to go from down there. And it'll be very interesting to see how keen he is after he leaves the gate and gets into the first turn. But if he's learned, if the lessons that have been imparted in the morning translate into the afternoon, I don't think they can beat him. But he could be his own worst enemy. He's the most talented horse, I think, out here, just having watched all these horses for these months. He's the most talented horse, but he has to learn to ration that speed or he's going to be in trouble. And this is a good field. There's several other really good horses in here, including his stablemate, Benina Spirit, who gave him a good run for the money in the Sham and then came back and won the Lewis. And you know, he had, in the Lewis, he had the kind of trip, Steve, that potentially Life is Good's going to have tomorrow, where he had the rail and he had to go. And I don't think that's what he wants to do. And I thought it was a really game effort on his part to win. He'll be much better stalking tomorrow. His works have been inconsistent. His last work wasn't bad. His work before that was, to me, disappointing. And I just don't know if he's quite as good right now as he was for those last couple races. So that's my concern with him. You know, Dream Shake, we all know, he won that loaded maiden race, won it in a fast time, but it's tough to go from a sprint to a two-turn route against seasoned horses like this. But he's obviously got a ton of talent. I think the Great One has a big chance in here. He's a much improved horse from what we saw early in his career. He's steadily improved since they added blinkers. He's going to get a good stalking trip. He's trained well, and to me, he's second best on paper going into the race. And then you've got Roman Centurion, who ran, I thought, a strong race in the Lewis, making an extended run. The knock on him, though, is that I thought the race shape favored him that day. It was a very fast, early, slow, late race, and it played to his style. But he's only had three races, and all of these horses are so lightly raced, they've got room for improvement. So it's a really good field. It's an interesting race because of where horses are drawn, I think. And so I like Life is Good best, and the Great One is right behind him to give him the biggest tussle through the lane.
Jay, pause on Roman Centurion for a minute, because there had been some thoughts that we wouldn't see him until later at a mile and an eighth. There a consideration, I guess, of the Gotham. He was on Andrew Burns' list at NIRA for a little bit. What's been Callahan's thought and mood? Because it feels like this was a late decision.
No, I mean, they briefly considered the Gotham, but it didn't really make a whole lot of sense, you know, to cut him back to one turn and ship when you've already gone two turns at Santa Anita and run two good races here. To me, it was kind of overthinking things. And it was a fleeting thought, fortunately, and this is the spot that makes the most sense. And then you run here and you move along to either the Santa Anita Derby, or if you think that race is going to come up too tough, there's so many other options for that last prep. And then you can maybe ship. You could go to the Bluegrass, or you could go to the Arkansas Derby or whatever. But, you know, first things first, let's see how he does tomorrow. Because I don't know what to make of him. I liked his race last time, but I thought the race shape flattered him. And I really want to see if he takes a step forward off of that, or if the race was race shape aided and kind of made him look better than he is. I don't know, because these horses are so lightly raced. That's what I'm wrestling with him.
Well, his addition and the fact that the Great One is here, the fact that there's five, you know, very very good 3-year-olds that come together like this, and you know that there's a lot to like about this. This is certainly going to be entertaining.
No, it's a terrific race, and you know those five horses are all on our Derby Watch top 20. So it's far and away the meatiest race for us too, in terms of interest and the regard that we hold this field in.
Well, we'll get a little bit more of a West Coast pecking order coming out of this. Let's look ahead, Jay, to the other three graded stakes. San Carlos. If you have a fleeting thought.
I don't understand why storm the courts in this race as opposed to the Kilroy Mile. I just think he's shown that he's, you know, he's found a nice place on grass. I thought the Pegasus was just too far for him, but his Mathis Brothers Mile was really good, and his La Jolla Handicap at a mile was really good. So, you know, to we'll see how he does. I don't have a strong feel for this race. I like Extra Hope cutting back. I think he can run better, and he's been freshened and just has trained well for the race. But this race, I don't know. It's the California-based sprinters right now are they're going to just take turns beating one another, I think. You know, Brickyard Ride's going to be the horse to catch. He's incredibly fast. I just don't know if he's going to be able to go 7/8. I guess if I had to make a pick in here, the horse I like best is Exalted, and he's going to be a price. But I thought his maiden, or you know, he won a maiden race last time against allowance caliber horses, and he's been well regarded. He's run against top horses, and the three times he got beat, and then he won last time running above his conditions. So I would maybe just take a gamble with him. And Loudmouth has certainly been an improved horse over the last several months. And so I like kind of the horses that are drawn towards the outside. Those two, Tigre de Slugo is the morning line favorite. I mean, that's kind of where I'm going to be going. The old 7/8/9 box for me, Steve.
Let's get to the grade one double that is just going to be a fabulous coda to the afternoon. 7 o'clock Eastern time for the Kilroy, 7:30 for the Big Cap. And boy, this Kilroy for an early season assembly, I don't think you could put together a nicer field.
No, there won't be. It won't be much better, except for the Euros that come in when they run the Breeders' Cup Mile at Del Mar later this year. It's a top field. It's really cool that so many horses shipped in, you know, for Pletcher and Mott and Chad Brown. It's just really, you know, and obviously for Cassie. I'm a huge fan of Ride of Comets. I just really like this horse a lot. I think it's a cool story to come back off a 2-year layoff, you know, with Bowe Tendon that's set and now perform like he has. And I liked his win in the Tropical Derby. I think this is a smart move to keep him on nice firm ground and bring him out here. And if he can keep going like this, to me, he's a major player for the Breeders' Cup, because we know he likes Del Mar. I shipped out and won the Del Mar Derby in 2018 when he was just a young pup of three. But you know, the locals are obviously very good. Hit the Roads win off the bench in the Thunder Road was terrific, and he loves Santa Anita. And then you've got Smooth Like Straight, who just pounds out terrific performances consistently every time he goes out there, but has been unlucky not to win a Grade One yet. And I'm sure he's going to be set for his absolute best. So those are the three I like best in the race. But like you said, it's just a really, really top-class race.
And the nice part, I mean, there's horses that are interested in the front end, and you got pressers, and you know, whoever is going to be at their best is going to have a fair chance in here. That's what's this should be just spectacular. I'm really looking forward to it. Nice.
Yeah, me too. No, it's really a terrific race. Big field, top-class horses, just exactly what you'd want.
Gets us to the Big Cap and the presence, the decision of Maxfield and Godolphin. I had Jimmy Bell on Monday. They've got a horse in the Big Cap. They're going to have a horse in the at the end of the month in the Dubai World Cup. And really, things are quite good right now for the boys in blue. This is an interesting assembly that came together for the Big Cap.
It is. I mean, I think it's a better than look field for the race. You know, obviously the presence of Maxfield makes it a much more interesting race, and for me, a much more appealing gambling race, because I don't think he has to win. He's never gone beyond a mile in a 16th before. He's coming back on 3 weeks for the which is similar to what he did as a 2-year-old in when he won the from his maiden to the Breeders' Futurity. But don't forget, when he came to Santa Anita a couple of years ago, he ended up getting scratched out of the Breeders' Cup. I don't think it was because of Santa Anita itself, but he's never, you know, I just wonder how that affects a horse. Maybe I'm reading way too much into it. But there's just enough here that with him being favored and not having run as this far and coming back on, you know, fairly short rest and at a track that's not familiar to him, I just think he's the best horse on paper, but he's not the best gamble. Express Train, I thought, won nicely in the San Pasquale. You know, that's back doing what he wants to do. He's a two-turn dirt horse, and he really showed his best form there. And it looks like he's really found the perfect partner in Juan Hernandez. Both of his races with Hernandez have been, you know, terrific efforts. But I like Idol. As you know, I've been a big fan of this horse. I liked him going into the San Antonio and thought he was unlucky to lose that day, and said then that I thought he was the horse to beat going forward in the big cap, because I just thought going out to a mile and a quarter, he was going to really improve. I loved his races at Churchill before he came out here. And he just had a horrendous trip last time in the San Pasquale. He gets a jock change to Rosario, who hopefully will put him more in the race, as opposed to last time where he was back off of a slow pace and then ran into a blind switch. And just it was just a terrible trip. But more importantly, I just think he wants to run this far. I don't think he'll be as high as John Hazem at 6-1. You know, he's favored last time against Express Train and Tizen Magician. I think he'll come down from there, but I'm hoping he'll still be in the 7-2 to 4-1 range, which for me would be a betting number. And then going more towards the outside here, obviously Tizen Magician ran a good race against Express Train last time. I wasn't crazy about his last work coming into this race, but, you know, on form, he certainly has a chance. And I know I've really been down on the way King Guillermo's been managed. I thought shipping him out here for the San Pasquale was just a bizarre notion, and I thought they should have just stayed home with him to try and get him back, because obviously when he's a good horse, he's a really good horse off his Tampa Bay Derby and his Arkansas Derby. But you know, after the Arkansas Derby, he goes to the Kentucky Derby and he's scratched. And then they decide to ship him to New York for the Cigar Mile, where he doesn't run well at all. And he trains in Florida, and they decide to send him to California for some reason. And he was just dreadful in the San Pasquale. The one thing in his that they kept him out here after that race, and Neil Drysdale has been overseeing his training. And so I think he's got a chance. He can't run as bad as he did last time. And I don't like him, but I don't think he's a complete and utter toss, because I do think there's some reasons to believe that he could run better in here. But there's just so many others in here that I think are better than him right now, like Idol and Express Train and Maxfield, that I think he's, you know, he's up against. And, you know, even Independence Hall ran a terrific race in the Pegasus. But I like Idol. I've liked him. I thought he's had legit excuses in his last two races. And this is, you know, this is it. This is what I wanted him to do. I wanted him to be in a mile and a quarter race. He gets a significant rider change. It's put up or shut up time for Idol tomorrow.
The big cap, nice. Should be a terrific afternoon. And I did see the notes coming out of yesterday's activities in San Francisco that security apparently will be tight.
Good. I hope so.
Yeah. Amazing. And I will mention, too, Jay, there's a 3-year-old maiden special weight that closes out the card. It's just three quarters, but Wild Man Jack's little brother, Aurelian Man, in there for Glenn Sorgenstein and the company. Wild Man Jack's little brother. And that there might be some nice horses emerge out of that nightcap group. So it's going to be a great
Possibles
day.
Run two, you know,
yes,
two
right.
Very good races again in two loaded maiden races. So he's deserving of getting over the hump for sure. So we'll see how he does.
Jay, it should be a fabulous Saturday, and it's going to be a long day tomorrow. Lots of great action coast to coast, and we appreciate everything. And we'll be derby watching along with you and Marty and the DRF team.
Yeah, it should be a fun day tomorrow. Thanks for having me on, Steve.
Not at all. Jay Pridman, everybody. We'll stay right here, and we've got tons yet to come. That'll include a visit from Dave Grenning and Papa Morales with Form to Win. Keeneland Jim, Jim Goodman, swinging through Rich Eng with some more California opinions. And Bogey, we're going to get Gus in. Gus Alonso with a couple of opinions as well. So a big second half as we cross the threshold, 90 minutes in, 90 to come. And Rick Hammerly standing by in Hot Springs where it's hot again. And the honeybee tomorrow. I was pushing Tupelo honey on people yesterday that are coming to Tampa. But the honey bee is the feature for the three-year-old fillies. Hey, Rick.
Hey, what's going on, Steve? We got, I think I finally found a spot where the phones work, and I'm in the back of the bookkeeper's office. Dusty and Terry have given me a home here. We'll see how it works.
It's crisp. No, it sounds great. Sounds good.
Right? Yeah. Phones work. You know, it's great. So we're back here. I got to tell you, I made a quick trip home last Sunday for a couple days. It was nice at the beach. And I'd say after being here, one of the nice things of being in a small town is you really forget about the rest of the world. And, you know, the news doesn't come on. You just kind of take care of your own business and go home. 2 days at home, and man, it's like, get me out of here. Get me back here, you know. Find out there's no Mr. Potato Head, there's no more green eggs and ham, and, I find out that your governor has caught our governor in the biggest, loser of them all in a race here, and so it's nice to get back home, and then they come back with the Golden Gate Fields thing. I am just going to take 2 seconds on it. I'm so glad that they got the races in and kind of put a little into it. You know what? It's kind of like a Northern Cal version, the Northern California version of a car chase that we have in Southern California. It goes on and on and on. They eventually get the guy, but it's like, come on, come on. So they eventually got the races in last night and took care of business, and hopefully that won't happen again. But anyway, crazy state. I actually almost covered up my license plate this morning driving in because it was embarrassing. But anyway, California is going to be California, and we'll move on. But it's all good here. Want to thank some people here that got the final 44 calendars that have had those envelopes sitting on my desk for a month or so now. It came up with the calendar, so everybody's getting a calendar. Some are actually going to get two because Kentucky Downs came through and sent me a few. So some people got Kentucky Downs and the Oakland calendar. But I want to say thanks to that. On the way over to pick up the calendars last week, I picked them up behind one of the mutual bays there where the simulcasting is, and one of the tellers, as I was talking to the guy giving me the calendar, she said, "Oh, that was a good show today." And I looked at her, and I'm thinking to myself, "What?" She goes, "Oh, I listen to you, I listen to the show all the time." And, I thought that was really cool. And I remember I called you, and then I went back to talk to her, and I told her, Rosie is her name. Very nice gal. I said, "You know what? You made my day. I was having a bad day, but it was nice to, you got listeners everywhere, Steve." I mean,
that's great.
Who knew? So if you're in the simulcast area, and Rosie's your gal to go see. She was wonderful. So we got that done. Surprise, tomorrow it's going to be sunny. That's one thing. And the second thing is the infield is going to be open.
Nice.
Yeah, so, they got to line up and come in, kind of like at the top of the stretcher. There's a little tunnel. And it'll lead them right over into the infield. And I don't know if there's going to be probably a ceiling at some point, but, there's room out there for, a few thousand people, and it'll be like normal. So kind of cool. And so, people have been, it's crazy here. Steve, you get phone calls. Hey, you know, I'm in Detroit. I'm thinking about making a ride down there. How do I get in? And this and that. Hey, I'm in South Carolina, thinking about driving over. I mean, people come from all over, and they're really jonesing now that the sun's up, and it's supposed to be kind of sunny and dry from here on out, at least in the foreseeable future. So, awesome. Kind of excited about that.
Sweet.
And what a kind of housekeeping. Yeah, you know, you had the review of last weekend's races, but you know, you really got to give credit to Brad Cox for all of his horses. But when you got the attention on you and the two champions coming back, especially the 3-year-old. I mean, Monomoy Girl, she's a pro. She's come back from you know, layoffs before and performed it. She's what 12 in a row, something like that. You kind of, quote, expect that from her, and she delivered. But the 3-year-old, I mean, you just don't know. Been off since, you know, for a couple of months, pointing for a race 2 weeks ago, and then 1 week ago, and then, okay, let's finally run it 2 weeks later in the mud. And, I mean, he acted like a real pro and got the job done. So that's always kind of cool when a champion comes back and does this thing, and we'll see what happens next. Listening to Jay, of course, they penned him in for the bluegrass, which kind of makes sense. He's got Caddo Rivers going to run in the Rebel next week to run here. We'll see how that goes. But of course, we'd like to see him back in the Arkansas Derby on the 10th. But you know, when you have horses like that, and you have a few of them, you got to split them up. So we'll see what happens. But anyway, you mentioned this week is the calm before the storm. Next week we have a big weekend, and we'll be taking those entries a little program change. We've been taking Saturday for Saturday, pretty much as a rule here, but we're going to do that Rebel Day on Tuesday. Get a little closer to the event and give everyone a little bit chance to, you know, see what they're going to do. We haven't trained just to get back on that training schedule here for some of the guys. So we'll take entries Tuesday for Saturday. So don't look for them tomorrow. But the Honeybee, you know what? Checking that race out, came up to be a pretty good race. The Honeybee is the precursor to the Fantasy, which is our final prep for the Kentucky Oaks. And there's some interesting horses here. Kenny McPeak starting to show his hand here a little bit. You'll start to see him run some horses here. Hopefully we see that one filly we'd like to see here run soon. But he's got 2 3-year-old fillies in here, Tabor Hall and Livy of the Desert. Of course, Brad Cox is present here, and Steve Asmussen, Dallas Stewart, you know, make up the rest. So, you know, Dallas Stewart's filly, Will Secret, we liked her last time in the mud a little bit. Everything just set up perfect. If she can run back to that, we'll find out. I kind of like, you know, get stuck in that Brad Cox where I have to kind of look for him. Coach, I'm looking at Coach. He ran a good race in the mud. She ran a good race in the mud last time off a layoff. I think coming back second time with Giroux back on her back. She's won 3 out of 5. I like her. If it's anywhere near 4-1, we'll like that even better. And McPeak's, quote, other horse, the filly that just broke her maiden, Tabor Hall, at Gulfstream in January. I just like the way she's moving. She ran a real improved race last time. I like her in there as well. So that's the way I looked at them. The Santa Anita card came out really good. They've suffered through a few days of, you know, light racing, but sometimes you have to do that to get to the good card. And, you know, as you know, you live and die by the stake on these big days, and they lived this time. The stakes came out great. Good job by Chris there. And it came out pretty darn good. The only change I see is the China Doll. We used to run that as the last. He ran it. He's running it as the first. That's great. Shake it up a little bit. So get people interested early as the stake is the first race. So that's kind of cool. You talked to Jay at the San Felipe. What did you think of the San Felipe?
Well, I think you've got the major 800-pound gorilla. Baffert, life is good. And, you know, then you've got horses that have had performances that indicate there's substance to them. And it makes for a great mix. Medina Spirit has sort of outperformed expectation, even from Baffert. Dream Shake, you can't debut any better. Great one. Talked to O'Neill the other day, and he's got, he's excited, and he fits. And Roman Centurion gets a bit of a class test. You got five very, very good three-year-olds together here, and life is good. How compromised is he by the rail? I don't know if he's that compromised. I think they would have preferred to let him, go out and in the afternoon and pick up from his morning lessons in terms of trying to relax. Baffert will have to deal with that after this race, but, he's going to have to go from the rail. So, there it is. It should be very entertaining. I expect that life is good. It lives up to, the next step of expectations.
I agree. I think this is a very perplexing race, if you want it to be. As you mentioned, all these horses have, we talked weeks ago about the horses at Santa Anita seeming having to go from their maiden race right into a stake, or in some cases from stake back into a maiden race. So it's hard to gauge. Some of them have been running in, four and five horse fields, so you don't know pace-wise what they can do, this or that. The Dream Shake is pretty funny. If that other horse wasn't in there, Bezos, this horse would have been, nobody would have watched the race probably, right? Instead, everybody was watching the race for Bezos, and wow, look what came out of it, Dream Shake. But got a huge number, huge buyer number, and a huge huge thoroughgraph number, and, it's tough to ask a horse, to go from a maiden into a stake, let alone go from one turn, into two turns against some top horses. But I don't know if this horse could surprise. Baffert wins all these races, won them all this year. He's on the rail. We were wondering where Medina Spirit was gonna land. Might be the more versatile of the two. Had to go to the lead last time just because of the way it laid out. Not real sure. I can't get off of this Great One. I keep coming back to the Great One. I don't know. I know he beat three horses by 14. But that race back against Spielberg when he was still a maiden, I don't know. If he can lay off a little bit, maybe the Great One can do something. Not real sold on Roman Centurion just yet. Like to see another one. But you go through Baffert, but I don't know. I can't get away from the Great One. But a good match. You'll see a Derby horse come out of here for sure. There's no doubt about it. The San Carlos. Real quick, as we go through the card, if you want, interesting horses here. We look at them closer. Lots of horses that have tried stakes, haven't maybe done great. Some cowbred, some allowance type horses. Storm the Court, trying to find a home for him. I want to like him in here. He's still only won two races when you think about it. So I'm going to Extra Hope. I think Extra Hope fits this race like a glove, cutting back in distance. Going 7 furlongs, I think, I don't know what the price is. I'm like Seth with Seth, not only to, put the numbers on here, but at some point put the odds too. But I don't know what he is in the program, but I think he's tough to beat in the San Carlos. The Kilrow came up really good. I think there was, six or seven shippers, which is good. I smooth like straight, never run against older. He's only run against his own generation, which is kind of odd this far into the year. Or into his career with 12 races. He's a win type. I some of these ones that came over, they're nice. Don't get me wrong, but I've always liked this horse. He's a winner. He's won half his starts. Smooth like straight. He's got the rail. I really like him for a bit. And a horse on the outside with a little bit of a price, maybe Ride a Comet. Those two. Come to the big cap. Once again, nice horses that are here. Some of them, you can probably not consider seriously for here. I heard Idle from Jay. you know, lightly raced, once again, only won two races, and they have him in the form as going this distance. He did win a race at Amman 3/16. I don't know. I think Max Field is undefeated. I think he looks like he's a mile and a quarter type horse. I just think he's too good for these. Max Field, Independence Hall, ran huge last time. If you compare that up, he'll be good. The only alert in here is that Tiz Magician looks like to be the only real speed in here. And you know what happens in some of these long races? You forget about him out there. Just walk the dog on the lead. Mandel has done that before. So good race. I think Max Field's going to be fun to watch. I mean, they're putting him to the distance test, the travel test, and, fills out a good card out there at Santa Anita.
Very much. Well, Hammer, we'll look forward to the Rebel card coming together. they're a little stacked up, but that's okay. There's still plenty of opportunity and three-year-olds that are interested and looking forward to seeing that field and that card come together. And should be a fun weekend. Enjoy.
Yeah, it will be. And like you said, we got Caddo River coming, a concert tour, and keep me in mind who missed the Southwest last week. We'll be back and a few others. So anyway, it's great to be back, and I have some dry ground. And anyone that's in the vicinity, shoot on over tomorrow. Infield's open.
Nice. There we go. I think everybody's got the winter nastiness in the rearview mirror at this point, which is great. Away they go, everybody. Rick Hammerly, and we also thank Rick for Oaklawn and a little Kentucky Downs for getting calendars out to everybody. Let's stay right here. We got tons to do. We got an hour and 10 minutes to fill out the rest of the weekend preview, brought to you by Twin Spires, and perfect timing to say that, because Ed DeRosa and James Scully. And we're going to do the old-fashioned DeRosa-Scully round-robin back and forth. We'll hit all the highlights, and we'll say good morning first to Ed.
Good morning.
How you doing?
I'm doing well. Looking forward to a big day on the trail tomorrow.
Big time. And I think, do we have Scully there too?
Yes.
Nice. All right. Well, we're looking.
Good morning, Steve.
James, let me do this before we get into, some opinions. Ed, how about a quick update on the leaderboard and how everybody made out and where we stand going into the weekend, and any other offers that people can opt in on?
Yeah, well, leaderboard definitely heating up, and I'm pulling up the standings now, obviously with the most points available of any weekend coming up, a sort of moving day, I would expect. But we still have a two-way tie on top. And the lesson I gleaned from that, Sean in New York, Jason in Illinois with 224 points, is this definitely is going to come down to needing every point. So for those involved, don't get discouraged, because there's plenty of points available, especially with part two coming up in those 100-point races. And B, don't let yourself miss out by, fourth or third place finish, because that absolutely is going to matter come the end of this thing. But Sean and Jason in the pole positions for now from New York and Illinois, and good geographic representation of the top 10 has a Minnesota and Indiana, Louisiana, California. So good to see coast to coast representing, and we'll expect a big shakeup after this week. But for now, great job, Sean and Jason.
Good deal. Anything else interesting for the weekend offers?
That is the big one, and there is one other one that I'm pulling up to make sure I get absolutely right. One thing I will say, that is the biggest one. One thing I will mention, though, is we're really ramping up our international offers. It just seems like people have enjoyed, whether it's morning with Hong Kong, or late night, wrapping things up with Australia, and then really late with Hong Kong over the weekend. People have liked firing away. So we have an Australian bet back offer through the end of March, and then in April we're going to have a bet back on all races at Hong Kong. So definitely watch for those international opportunities. But this week, the big one, of course, $25 win bets on all those points races.
Nice. Excellent. All right. Let's dive into this. We had James on Monday after a big weekend of opinion scores, and we will see if we can't, if anybody, everybody, let everybody duplicate, reprise those performances. I guess we'll do this geographically. You want to hit New York? Yeah, we'll do New York, Tampa, California, I think. James, start us off in New York.
All right, we'll start right with the Gotham. Big return race, obviously, for highly motivated, like other people have said earlier today. I love that Nyquist Stakes. It was a really strong performance. You know, he's been training back since mid-January for Chad Brown. He brings him back at a one-turn mile that, you know, should fit. And plus, he gets the right pace set up, perhaps. You know, Freedom Fighter is not going to have things easy. I expect him to be showing the way. But you got Weyburn and Capo Kane, you know, some speed around him. And I just think the race is going to set up perfectly for highly motivated. I will mention a couple long shots. You know, if you do have a little bit of a pace collapse in this race, I thought, you know, obviously Chad Brown's other horse, number five, Crowded Trade. I liked his finish last time in late January. You know, got a big late pace number from Brisnet, a triple-digit number. Horse to consider underneath at odds. And even number two, the Reds. Obviously, he's going to be seriously tested for class. But he's a horse that looks like he's been starting to get it, started putting it together for John Kimmel. I like the way he finished last time. That race didn't come back fast, but he could get an ideal setup. Looks like he's going to prefer longer distances, but he's one to consider underneath if you're playing vertical exotics in the Gotham.
Ed?
Well, I certainly agree on highly motivated. This is a horse I've had in my top five since the coming out party, so to speak, in the Nyquist. And I think he's a real contender. I bet him in the future wager up to this point, and I'm expecting a wild factor three-year-old performance here. And James and I share the same long shot that has a look underneath in the red, so he hit the salient points there. And I thought Weyburn, sort of the opposite type of approach. If you thought maybe a long shot can stick around on the front end, he tried to press the pace two back before the maiden win when he was on the lead, but he actually did get headed and came back. I thought at 20-1 he was, you know, maybe worth a look to hang on behind highly motivated. But from a multi perspective, it's three for me, and that's all.
James, anything else in New York?
I will mention just in the Tom Fool, I think there's a lot of speed in there. I like Wendell Fong last race. He's 3-1 on the morning line. You know, very potentially could get a little overlooked in here with some other horses. That's a horse I'm interested in on the undercard, Steve.
Very good. Ed, anything else in New York?
I'd say James and I are either heading down Heartbreak Lane together, or we're going to the steakhouse, because I think Wendell Fong is, you know, 3-1 second choice on the line, and I agree with David's assessment of how the bettors are going to approach this. I think that's a play for sure.
Let's go down to Tampa. Ed, start with the Tampa Bay Derby.
Yeah, no, this is an interesting race, and, you know, it's getting its share of, you know, people kind of shrugging their shoulders a little bit given the star power in New York and California. But this, I think, has some opportunity because we, you know, just know how bettors are, and it's a parimutuel game. They're going to gravitate toward what they saw in the Sam F. Davis, and Candyman Rocket certainly look good there, and Hidden Stash returns. And we've kind of seen this movie before in the LeComp. It was an also-ran who turned the tables in Mandaloon, and then in the Fountain or in the Holy Bull, Greatest Honor came back to win the Fountain of Youth. So it's kind of interesting to see how this one will play out. But I'm selling the Sam F. Davis. The numbers didn't come back good. None of those horses just really had a wow factor going into the race either. So I'm not going to take a shorter price now, which is what usually happens. And I'm going with Pletcher here with Promise Keeper, who got a 94 Brisnet speed rating in that maiden victory. And I've seen some chatter about, man, a Pletcher 8-1 on debut, nearly 7-1 when he broke the maiden by five. I don't have an excuse for that. And he did lose to Candyman Rocket on debut. But I think a Constitution out of a Curlin mare, getting to go a mile in the 16th now, two-turn debut. I think Todd pushed the right buttons with having Known Agenda back in South Florida, winning that allowance. and he ships Promise Keeper up here. It's a quirky surface. Todd's won this race plenty of times, though. I like the juggling act, and I like this horse. I don't think we'll get 8-1, but I'd be happy with 5 or 6.
James.
I'm in agreement with Ed about selling the Sam F. Davis. I mean, I look at Candyman Rocket. Outside of maybe Hidden Stash, Promise Keeper, there's not a lot of attractive betting options in this race. I think he's going to be shorter than 2-1, and I'm going to let him beat me in here. I'm going to take a little swing at a wild card, a number 2, Super Strong. You know, the potential for rain exists. He won in the flop in December. And I just know that, you know, after racing on December 19th, he shipped to Florida shortly after that. He had 5 works, including a 5-furlong bullet at Palmettos. Safi Joseph was talking about the Gotham in mid-February for this horse. I do think he, you know, thinks he has some quality. His third dam is C's Song. He's related. He's from the immediate family of Tiznow, Super Strong is. I think he has a chance to run a big race from off the pace. And that's a little bit the way I'm also going to use the race in multi-race bets, Steve. I'm going to play against the speed in here. I will use Hidden Stash on my multi-race tickets. Another horse that I'll make mention of is number 9, Unbridled Honor, a horse to me who's a light bulb that just really went on last time when he broke his maiden at Tampa Bay. He's come back and posted 2 consecutive bullet works for Todd Pletcher since then. First foal out of a dam that's a sister to Roman Ruler and El Corridor, and I just think Unbridled Honor has an upside, one to consider in the Tampa Bay Derby at long odds.
Well, and speaking of the invader from Puerto Rico, I'll remind people on my timeline, I put out the link to the video on YouTube from Camarero from that win, and that horse is okay. Well,
yep.
Watch that. Watch Super Strong and gets Antonio Gallardo, who certainly knows his way around Oldsmar. James, something else at Tampa?
Well, I like the Oyster Box's optional allowance win last time in the Florida Oaks, race number 10. She does draw an outside post here for Grand Motion, but looks like she'll get a good setup, I think. I just think that this race, the 2 horses I like in here are both drawn outside, number 11, Oyster Box, and then Domain Expertise. You know, she ran into White Frost last time. I thought she was terrific in that race. Could be a really talented 3-year-old turf filly. So I wouldn't be surprised to see Domain Expertise improve upon that. I'm going 11-10 in the Florida Oaks, Steve.
Ed?
I'll go the race before the Hillsboro. And, you know, always dodgy, wondering if you'll really get 6-1 on a Chad Brown. But definitely like Miss Tyron shipping up. Sammy Camacho taking the mount. This horse has performed well at various distances and gets a mount in 8th here, which was 4th, 2 back, but beaten just a length and a half against the next out winner and not the most ideal of beginnings, and now 2nd off the layoff. And this feels like a target for Chad. And at 6-1, that would definitely be okay with me. I'm going to expect more around 4-1, though, and that's fine, too. But Miss Tyron for me, and definitely going to look to fade the chalks in there.
All right. Anything else at Tampa?
That's it for me.
I got a James? Horse. The pick 4 starts in race 8. A lot of speed in there. I like the improving form for number 4, Fire Marshal Bill. You know, that race last time he ran into Doc Askew and Soaring Bird. I really thought that was a really solid field. Those 2 horses are look pretty good to me, and I think Fire Marshal Bill is going the right direction for Tim Glyshaw. 8-1 on the morning line. I'm using him in race number 8.
I touched on him earlier this morning because that 8th race starts the late pick 4, and it's the 2nd leg of the pick 5. So it's an important race, and it is it's a curious group. We also brought up Last Promise. Nick Tamaro was aboard. You got to consider Uncork the Bottle for Safi Joseph. That Speeding Kid for Tony Wilson on the outside. Mr. Ankeny certainly has run races. That's a treacherous spot for those that want to play the big multis at Tampa tomorrow. Should we go out to California? We got California opinions.
Yeah, absolutely.
James, go ahead.
All right, I'll start with the San Felipe. really, to me, the great one is the key to how this race is going to play out. If he doesn't put pressure at some point on Life Is Good, you know, there's the potential exists for him to lead wire to wire. We won't really know much, learn a lot if that happens. I'm going, though, with Dream Shake. I thought that was an extremely fast race, Steve. I love the move he made in contention onto the far turn. He finished fast, like winning under wraps that day. I just thought that was a strong, strong performance. And if he can get the great one to put some pressure on at some point, Life Is Good, then he's going to potentially get the right setup. I expect him to keep moving forward. I'm going to take a shot with Dream Shake in the San Felipe.
Ed.
I am too. Maybe we missed the wedding at a big price last out. But I mean, this just feels to me like your last stand, because if he runs well here, he'll never be any sort of price through the Derby. And Life Is Good is certainly very dangerous in my mind. And, you know, we've all heard about Baffert working on the relaxation. And I was fortunate enough to talk with Mike Smith for an interview that's on the TwinSpire social channels, and he talked about the same, and it sounds like he's going to, you know, let the horse do his thing. If they give him the lead, that's fine, but I think there's enough question marks with the great one, as James noted, that this sets up enough for Dream Shake at the price. And there's one other closer in here with Freedom Fighter, but just looking at the late pace rating from Brisnet, there's not even close to what Dream Shake ran, and that was on debut without a ton of foundation. So, I'm sorry, Roman Centurion, Freedom Fighter,
right.
the horse in Gotham. Sorry about that. But to me, Dream Shake is definitely the one who's going to outrun, and he is going to have to run down Life Is Good. Medina Spirit almost did. I think Dream Shake will, and I think we'll get the right price to try it out.
We got thoughts on the Kill Row?
I don't, but I'm swinging in the big cap.
I got a thought on the Kilroy. I love the Frank Kilroy, Steve. Social Paranoia. You know, Social Paranoia came back last year in the Appleton at a mile. He won convincingly, looked great. They stretched him out in his next two races. If he wins this race tomorrow, they should never run him a past a mile again. He is 3-for-3 at a mile. His season ended after he won that poker last summer in early July. He's coming back now for Pletcher. You look at his race two back where he beat Olympic Runner, who came back and ran a heck of a race in the Canadian turf for Cassie. I just thought that was a really solid win. Last time he was in position, a mile and three sixteenths is too far for him. I love the cutback to 8 furlongs. I think he's a serious player in the mile turf division this year. Social Paranoia at 8-1 in the Kilroy, Steve.
Excellent. Ed, for the big cap for you?
I'm going to take a shot with Coastal Defense. And, you know, KG Roman, just one of those, like, you shake your head when he beats you at a price, and sometimes you go down with the ship. But this one, Johnny V gets aboard, gets in at 116. The blinkers go on. There was a little bit of buzz around this horse for the Pegasus World Cup. I know those around Corey in particular like that he was able to get them out, and then, you know, it didn't work out, and obviously there's no match for Nick Stowe and never really in it. But he is by curling out of a Giants Causeway mare and gets a mile and a quarter here while getting some weight from some of the heavier hitters. So I think he's in with an upset chance.
All right. And last minute Friday push, James.
Yeah, I got the last race at Oakland Park today, number 12, race 9, number 12, James's Moonshine, 6-1 morning line, graduates today for Chris Hartman.
Give the race again.
It's race 9 at Oaklawn, number 12.
Very good. The last minute Friday push. James Scully and Ed DeRosa, everybody. James_Scully 111 EJXD2 for Ed. Guys, good luck this weekend, and another.
It's gonna be a fun one.
Yeah,
big all time. Right.
We'll be that much further down. We'll have we might have formful results, but we'll be that much. We'll know that much more about the Derby hopefuls. Let's take our last break of the morning real quick, because we've got to come back, and I somehow got to fit in Dave Grenig Jim Goodman, Bogey, and Papo, and Rich Eng. So about 10 minutes each. Back after this, weekend preview at the races brought to you by Twin Spires.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Why, in the past decade, has BRL Equine become the premier equine supplement company in the industry? Because we spend millions in research and development before we ever put out a product. Because we use only FDA-supervised facilities to manufacture for us. Because what we say is in them is in them. Because they work. Because if you're not happy, I'll give you your money back. And because top trainers and veterinarians in thoroughbred racing, standardbred racing, three-day eventing, and barrel racing all trust in BRL Equine. Shouldn't you? To find out more how Flexify HA, Unlock, Bleeder Shield, and EPO Equine can help you, contact me, Joseph Vellante, 215-501-6880.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
There's a great story to tell in Pennsylvania. Only three states have produced more Breeders' Cup champions, and no state can match our performance in recent years. Since 2016, our numbers of mares bred has skyrocketed, unlike the national trend. And this year's live foal report shows Pennsylvania up over 50%. Why? Our incentives and bonuses are the best in North America. Please visit us at PABred.com and see why Pennsylvania is the premier place to breed and race.
Sirius XM Sports presents